You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Tuesday, day after a come-from-behind win for the Pelicans, 106-105. They were down as many as 14 at one point in this game. Came from behind to win. A win's a win, but this is an ugly one, a struggle win. We're going to talk about this. Also notable for a couple of other things is the emergence of Rajon Rondo coming back into the lineup, as well as Darius Miller lighting it up from three. So also apologies for the poor audio quality right now. I am out of town traveling for some work and completely left my microphone at home, so I'm kind of yelling into my computer here, which is hopefully going to make it okay, but only one more day of podcast sounding like this. Bear with me, we'll get past this, and we'll get back to usual podcasts and how they sound and everything. So this was a weird win for the Pelicans for a number of reasons. One, the Hawks came in 2-11, and quickly the Pelicans found themselves down by 9. But the Hawks had a strong defensive game plan, and it was basically any time DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis had the ball, they double-teamed him. We've seen this all year, but they started off with a single guy on him and then rushed a second over for the double-team, kind of befuddling the Pelicans' big birds on which direction the double-team was going to be coming from, and then not knowing where to pass out of it if you don't really know where to anticipate the double-team coming from. This led to a lot of turnovers for these guys, and if you look at it, you know, combined, they had 12 turnovers, which is more than their entire field goal makes in the game. Davis made 5 shots, had 5 turnovers. Cousins made 6 shots, had 7 turnovers. So Davis was kind of largely neutralized through the night. Cousins had a decent stat line, but that kind of belies the fact that he really struggled and the Pelicans struggled with him last night. In the fourth quarter, in crunch time, going into the final, 2 minutes of the game, he was actually on the bench, and the Pelicans were running out there with Anthony Davis while in a close two-point game. DeMarcus Cousins is sitting on the pine. Gentry said this is because they were playing small. It was also just because partially of the turnovers. This has been an issue. I wrote about it yesterday. We dedicated a podcast to it yesterday, talking about how these guys are turning the ball over at a high rate right now, and in a close game, you can't have that risk out there. So while the Pelicans look like they struggled in the first quarter and a half of the game, you know, I actually really liked the offense and what I saw. Minus the turnovers, this team was kind of clicking and moving the ball well. They were just missing shots, whereas Atlanta was making them. When you look at Atlanta on the night, Luke Babbitt was 4 of 9 from 3. Kent Bazemore hit 3 threes. Marco Bellinelli was 4 of 6 from 3. And Tyler Kavanaugh was 4-4 from 3. You know, I said in the quick preview I did yesterday that this Hawks team will bomb it from 3 if you leave them open. And by the way, almost all of those shots from 3 were wide open, not a defender within 3 feet from him. Bellinelli's 4 of 6 from there. He had 6 uncontested shots. Luke Babbitt had 8 uncontested shots. He had 9 three-point attempts. Bazemore was left open a ton when it came to the three-point line. Same with Tyler Kavanaugh. None of this is a surprise. If you leave guys open on the perimeter, NBA players are going to shoot, and they're going to make shots. It's kind of as simple as that at times. And the Pelicans kind of fell into a hole because, you know, Atlanta was making their shots. The Pelicans weren't making their shots. But it did get better, particularly when Darius Miller started to come in off the bench, and Darius Miller saved the day for the New Orleans Pelicans. So before talking about Darius Miller and what's going on there, don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com. Jason Quigley's got an article up saying why we should not give up on Jrue Holiday just yet. Hopefully we'll get more of those Toronto-esque games, 34 points. He didn't have a great game last night. We'll touch on him a little bit in a couple minutes if you want to focus on Darius Miller. But make sure you check out LockedOnPelicans.com for the latest Pelicans insight. So I said the surprise of the night was Darius Miller, and it really was. This is a guy who came out of Europe, as we all know, former Pelican, former Hornet, really, and had a number of people wanting his services, and the Pelicans gave him over a minimum deal larger than a minimum deal to come here and play. And it was a bit surprising, especially when you look at, say, the first five or six games of the season when he was not playing well, shooting right under 20% from three on the year for a guy who made his living as a three-point shooter in Germany. And then over the past five or six games, he's really come alive. And last night was no different. On the night, Miller was 6 of 11, shooting 5 of 8 from three-point range, 21 points, and the Hawks had no answer to it. And as I said, the Pelicans weren't making their shots in the first quarter and a half, but their offense looked good. When Miller came in and was getting those kick-out passes and receiving those open looks, he was making them and kind of sparked this turnaround, particularly also in the fourth quarter, where he hit a couple of back-to-back big threes to really lift the Pelicans over the Hawks and give them a lead that they, at that point, then never relinquished. This is a guy who I think a lot of people are going to start clamoring for him to be in the starting lineup. I don't know if that's the move you want to make just yet. You know, his three-point shooting might be more valuable off the bench to come in when you need it and to pair him with one of the bigs, say a Davis and Miller or a Cousins and Miller, as opposed to having him out there with both of them when they're taking the majority of the scoring load on. You might want to sub him in for a different type of situation to provide some offense, because we've seen the net rating really drop when only one of the big birds is out there versus both of them. But at the same point, you could just make the claim to start him and then sub one out, and then he's able to carry everything. Though I don't know if that's the most effective and efficient use of his minutes just yet. But he was big last night, and one of the reasons why the Pelicans won this game. Another reason is actually Etuan Moore, who's been playing well as of late, and particularly just kind of overall this season. I've said he's maybe the most average player in the NBA. I'm changing my tune on that one, and he's making me change my tune. Etuan Moore was 2 of 5 from 3, so he's hitting his threes 40%. That's good. But bigger than that, he was 11 of 18 on the night. He took more shots than, Drew Holiday did, than Cousins did, than Davis did, and took almost more shots than Davis and Cousins combined. 11 of 18, hitting his shots in the rim, getting to the rim, hitting that mid-range jumper when he was left open from there. So he's taking advantage of what the team is giving him. The only thing you'd like more out of him is to get to the free throw line. 0 on the night. In fact, the only guy outside of Davis and Cousins who shot free throws was Jameer Nelson. He went 1 of 2 from the line. The Pelicans were 11 of 17 on the night. Davis and Cousins not having their best free throw shooting night overall. It's a little weird because you need to get some more free throws from the rest of this team. But overall, again, a win's a win, and you can't really complain. And they beat the Hawks, and it's as simple as that. Also, don't forget to listen to the Locked On NBA podcast. I'm up there on the Monday edition, the edition for this week, talking about Davis and Cousins, them meshing, why it's working, why the Pelicans are kind of a surprising 8-6 at this point throughout the season and right in playoff contention. So as always, make sure you tune in, catch up on the biggest stories around the league with the local angles on the Locked On NBA podcast. So before I wrap up, and I know the audio quality is absolutely atrocious here, you know, the reason why I'm harping on the Pelicans, and a lot of people are harping on the Pelicans about the turnover issue here, is because, again, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. They haven't looked particularly good in a lot of these wins over teams with losing records. And this is a concern. They had 18 turnovers again last night. That's killing their offense, putting a little bit more strain on their defense. And when, frankly, you can make an adjustment or two if you were to cut out, say, 4 turnovers a game, which isn't necessarily unrealistic, though it might be considered a lot, all of a sudden you're looking at a top 10 offense when this team has struggled for offense and points at times. So, again, the reason why people are harping on a team that's 8-6 that has been getting these wins, struggle wins, is because, again, they haven't been tested, their schedule hasn't been that hard. They're about to hit it, and an effort and performance like last night over the struggle win over the Atlanta Hawks isn't going to get you wins over these teams that are coming up on the schedule. They play Toronto on Wednesday, at Denver on Friday, then you're home against the Thunder. Hi, Brett Dawson, you're going to be here. I'm excited to see you. Thunder on Monday, Spurs on Wednesday, then you get a hopeful win against the Suns on the road. Then you're away to the Warriors, back home against the Wolves, then on the road to Utah and Portland, before home games again, now we're in December, against the Warriors and Nuggets. That's a brutal stretch of play. An absolutely brutal stretch. And if you keep turning the ball over, if you keep making these mistakes, you're not going to beat the majority of those teams. And all of a sudden, this good start by the Pelicans, and this is considered an excellent start at this point now, is going to evaporate, and you're not going to have made the most of it. You need to make sure you're playing well so that when you do play against good teams, you're ready to go and you're not necessarily going to fold or just get blown out by them. If the Pels last night go play almost any other team that's decent or has a winning record, they're not winning this game, and we're not having the same conversation of just saying a win's a win. We're going to be nitpicking things more. This is how it goes. So that's why I'm concerned about this team. That's why a lot of people aren't sold on this team. This next 13-game stretch, with 11 of them being against playoff contenders and good teams, is really going to be where we find out about this team and we get these questions answered. I've said it before that there's still a ton of unanswered questions about this team. We really don't know much about them yet, despite being, 14 games into the season. Scott Kushner's echoed this on the radio, if you've heard him in New Orleans, and even wrote about it in The Advocate. We don't have any more answers than we did at the start of the season. These next 13 games are going to give us those answers, though. Thank you all for listening to this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Sorry for the poor audio quality. Like I said, I was an idiot and forgot my microphone as I'm traveling, but I'll be back in New Orleans Wednesday night. I will be at the game going straight from when I get in town to the arena, so I am excited. One more day of poor audio quality podcast, and then we're back to the usual. So thank you all for bearing with me. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.